Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for listening to the Marty Smith Show. That is Pat Metheny. This is one of his most important songs. All of his songs are important. But that's Pat Metheny, Are You Going With Me? Which is like a theme of this show. Are you going with me? Or are you rolling with Rush? What you doing? How you getting down with the get down? I'm picking up off something from Black Noise Radio when we looked at, just look at this cryptocurrency madness that's out there and the stakes and the opportunities available. They're serious. And I will once again say that we don't give financial advice, but I will give advice about how to be financial in some places where you may be able to do this, do that, and get your game in gear. I did not, like I said on the last Black Noise Radio platform just a few days ago, put my link out. Because I'm not doing it for referral credit. So I would prefer if I put a link out to get you involved in a particular blockchain or cryptocurrency mechanism to understand it better on your own. I want everybody kind of realize, yeah, I can get credit for this and whatever for that, but I don't need you calling me back 10 days later and saying how you lost your shirt because you suggested somehow that I gave you some type of advice, which is not what we're talking about. One thing I've realized about investments is nobody has the final answer. And since everything is subject to some type of emotion at the final destiny, do I take all my money off the table? I've accrued some interest. I've had capital gains. Now do I take it off the table, pay that tax? Or do I leave it in the marketplace, take a little off, nibble, nibble, nibble? Or do I even get in the marketplace because I heard it wasn't even volatile to do it? I don't even want to get in that game because I was told that the game is volatile. Just you'd be foolish to take good money in to put it after a bad idea. The mother of invention is necessity. These markets have shifted in 6 months. You have from Citibank to Deutsche Bank, J.P. Morgan, everybody, even in those that are criticizing cryptocurrency, creating token marketplaces so they can move cash in and around and create new streams of marketing and purchasing. That is what's going down. So if you know you're going to have an NFT account to do this or buy this type of product or this or that, or you're going to have an EFT account or decentralized account or this account or that account or that protocol, it would make sense now before all of the protocols are coalesced into like probably two to make everything efficient. Whether you're an NFT or a decentralized current or a centralized current, at some point it becomes how do we get your money out your pocket to the end user and create a supply chain mechanism, which is somebody ordered something, somebody's going to produce something, somebody's going to go into an inventory, get that off the shelf, and all of that movement activity, even down to every keystroke on the computer, has a price point, and somebody's getting paid to do it, and you're purchasing something, and that transaction is called business, economy. No different than going down to the marketplace and buying 17 freshly cleaned crab. Right off the boat, right out the ocean. It's the same. So cryptocurrency is moving, and it's moving toward a direction. It may not be there. You're going to get more pushback in the immediate, and then you're getting, you know, this whole talk about taxing unrealized gains. That's insane. Really, Janet Yellen? Really, Democrats? Really, anybody that is, you're going to tax me on something that I haven't made money, but you think it might? Or even if it did make money, I didn't. That's like I bought a six-pack of soda. I paid a dollar, just say $7 out the door. Or more like $6.60, but 7 cents out the door, $7 out the door. Now you're gonna come with a tax that says, if I take those sodas and sell them at my store for $3 a can, 3 times 6, now it's 18. I'm going to be taxed for what you think I might do, but what if I drink some of the sodas? What if some of my crypto investments don't actually, yeah, I peaked. Bitcoin could be $1 zillion next week and then less than half a penny next month. It's all this shit is spectacle. So trying to tax something that you haven't accrued is just like, really? So what you're saying is nobody will ever be rich. You're capping wealth. You're capping wealth for folks that are trying. Why are people in the marketplace? Why do you have a pension other than, oh, when I get old and I die and before I die, I want to live good before I die. Otherwise, what is the purpose of being in the marketplace? I just want to make enough money just to get by. But even if you decided I wanted to be filthy rich and say, fuck everybody else, it's the same process. Well, I made a dollar on the market or $1 trillion. It's the same process. It's the same mechanism. Nothing changes. The same worker got shorted. The same person that does the data entry and press the button. He got paid the same wages. She got paid the same wages to clean the office. He got paid the same wages to let me into the security parking area. She got paid the same wages to press the elevator button. Secretary got paid the same wages. And then I made $1 trillion or lost $1 trillion. Because they're all there for the benefit of making $1 trillion. It's obvious. Get involved in these marketplaces. This thesis is not some blah, 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 blah.
Cap rate at $2.61 trillion, a BTC dominance of 44.1%. 10% and an abdomen of 19.6. And now it's time for a point of the day. My point of the day today is ranked 361 on CoinMarketCap. It's Ethernity Chain. Ethernity Chain. Its ticker is ERN. Its price is $11.13, up 0.8%, 24. Its market cap is $138 billion. Fully diluted market cap, $333 million. That means there's 41% in circulation. What is the all-time high for this token, ERN? It is, yikes, $74.13. It's down 84% from all-time high, which is a month ago. Its all-time low was 8 months ago, which is interesting, at $2.72. But it is up 300% from its all-time low. Where can you buy Ethernity Chain? You can buy it on Binance, Uniswap, Shitcoin, Mecca.io. And they all have pretty good liquidity. Binance obviously has the most liquidity, and the other ones are decent, even a couple $100,000. But Binance has well into the millions of dollars of volume and pretty decent ability to buy, sell, and trade. So what does Ethernity.io do? Well, it's the world's first authenticated and licensed NFT platform. It was by over 150,000 members, it says. It just looks like it's a marketplace. There's interesting NFTs here. For example, the Anderson Silva Legendary NFT, one of 175. They're trading at about $1,300. There's Bicycle Kick Gilded, which is a soccer NFT, which is trading at around $3,500. There's a Messi NFT. Man of the Past is called 8 out of 75 is trading at around $8,000. So it looks as though they just have a lot of sports NFTs. I'm going to go to the marketplace really quick and see what else they got. They have cars, they have art, they have, but it seems as though it's mostly sports-based, or at least that's what's front-facing on their platform. NFT marketplaces and NFTs, as you know, are popping off, so wouldn't it surprise you if there's more and more of these things pop out, and we're going to see more and more marketplaces come out. Which ones are going to last? Which ones are going to have the staying power into the future? Not too sure, but this one is 361 on CoinMarketCap. This is Ethernity Chain. And now to stop with my rambling and get into that week in review. Andrew Hayward, senior writer for Decrypt. How you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm good. Thanks for having me. It's been a while.
Absolutely. It's been, we were just talking about this off air. I think it's been about a year, maybe a little over.
Yeah, I think I did a few appearances like in the first 2 months that you started this when I was freelancing, and then I'm full-time now. So I'm back.
Congratulations on being full-time. It's good to see you again, my friend.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
So we're going to do our weekly roundup together, and you know what? Let's just get it right off. Let's start talking about Bakkt and MasterCard. Now, Bakkt and MasterCard was a big deal because MasterCard, you know, they're the biggest or the second biggest, you know, credit card issuer. I don't know if it's the biggest, so you probably can tell me in a minute. But long story short, they're like, I have a market cap of like $360 billion. And they allow people to have their cards. They're accepted everywhere around the world. And they came to Bakkt to offer crypto payments through their credit card services. And Bakkt went to the stock market on Monday. They started trading at $8. And then they just, after this announcement, 3X'd it. I think this is huge news.
Yeah, Bakkt had a hell of a week. I mean, anything that pushes for mainstream adoption is key, and Bakkt seemed to have played its timing right on going public and announcing these alliances, both with MasterCard and also Fiserv, which is sort of a similar partnership. You know, between those moves, Bakkt's stock was up more than 400% at one point this week, and it's still about triple what it was trading for last week. So, you know, big win for Bakkt. I'm, you know, assuming a big win for mainstream adoption eventually, and good for Bakkt to kind of finally move past association with Kelly Loeffler, the former CEO and deeply unpopular short-term senator.
Oh, right. I remember why I didn't like Bakkt, and I didn't like after a while. But full disclosure, I did buy into Bakkt stocks. I mean, here's the thing about Bakkt, and I was telling everybody, because I bought into it, this was known. I bought into Coinbase and Robinhood IPOs or direct listings when I went out. And what happened was they just dropped off. Bakkt was opposite. Bakkt stayed pretty much level and then just killed it. And so I had to buy in, and I bought the top, obviously, so I'm sitting at a loss. But it's interesting how they organized this better than I think Robinhood and Coinbase combined in really figuring out and understanding their footing before they went into the market. Do you think that they planned this, or do you think that it was just all, like, coincidental because it seems as though, like, these other listings kind of lost a little value, and they're starting to
is slowly gaining. Axie Robinhood is still trading below their IPO price. Do you think that this was all planned?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I can't imagine there's any coincidence in this. I think they probably picked a good time to launch, and they knew they had big news on the horizon, and it juiced the price. So now we just see if they can keep it up. Another big story this week is chatter about possibly taxing unrealized capital gains for billionaires. Do you want to give me a little bit about that?
Yeah, man. So that's actually interesting. We've been, you know, getting a lot of feedback from the listeners of the Decrypt Daily, and they've been hearing this all week about, you know, sharing their opinions back and forth. And really quick, this was a tax that was going to be implemented by the Biden administration to try to fund some of the Build Back Better bill, basically with the idea that people who make over $100 million a year or have $1 billion in assets over a three-year period, they're not getting taxed fairly, and this is true. You know, Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, they're paying, you know, either no income tax some years, getting refunds some years because of, you know, having kids or whatever kind of tax credits they have, which is absolutely insane that Jeff Bezos can get money back from the IRS. So they were trying to tax unrealized capital gains. Now, real quick, what is an unrealized capital gain? Unrealized capital gain is when you are making profit on something you're hodling. So just say you buy Bitcoin at $50,000. It goes up to $100,000. You have $50,000 of gains, and if you didn't cash it out, it's unrealized capital gains. And so what the bill proposal is, because obviously this is for billionaires, but the bill proposal was, well, the unrealized capital there, we're going to come in and tax you on that, and you're going to have to pay the IRS. And so the question was, is obviously they're going after billionaires, but is this ethical? Is this a good precedent? Could there be a slippery slope? Because I can tell you right now, to tax basically an average Bitcoin hodler or something on their unrealized capital gains, and this is what they're saying about billionaires as well, they're going to have to sell probably their assets to pay those pay the IRS, and then that takes capital out of either the market, that takes capital out of like something else. And also, well, there's all kinds of different slippery slopes in there. And how far does that go? Okay, fine, 700 people now. Is it going to be, you know, another 10,000 later? Is it going to trickle down to maybe the average American citizen paying taxes in the future of their income? Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, it's targeted as a tax on billionaires, which in most cases sounds just fine to me. Go for it. But the consensus across the political spectrum here seems to be that, you know, this wouldn't be feasible. It doesn't make much sense. And it could well be unconstitutional, too.
So that's the topic I was talking about. You're taxing people who haven't even, I might buy a house. Then the market goes down. I'm losing money, and I'm going to pay what I could have made if the market had stayed up. I mean, I think that billionaires need to pay their fair share like thousandaires. However, you need to have common sense laws and retribution, because I remember when I was in a classroom and I was teaching, taught math and English. I don't know what day it was. I taught them both same day. But I taught, I was dealing with some older students, so ninth grade through 14, 15, they're forming ideas. 16, 17, they're forming ideas about the world. They're looking at what adults are doing and trying to justify that in terms of their own behavior and what their outlook is, their hormones are growing. And I remember the dude, I pulled up in my my Crown Vic. And back then it was pimping, and, you know, tinted out on, I might have had Vogues. However, it's a low profile, so it looked like it's dropped. And it's a nice-looking vehicle and all the luxuries inside. So I pull up, and I was, like, still going back and forth, and he was, like, looking out the window, like, who is that? I saw you, Mr. Smith, pull up, blah, 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 blah. So then we got into the lesson, and the lesson turned to what he thinks about people with wealth. And I had four or five students around me, so we're all talking about it. But he went out and said, there should not be no people with money. I don't believe that there should be a such thing as rich people. And I said, well, hold up. As you look out the window, you're assuming that I'm in that class, possibly. Or if not, why do you think, Alfredo, that there should not be any rich people? Because let me ask you, if there are nothing but poor people, that's all you get. So there'll be no wealth. Had you thought about that part? That the fact that I'm sitting here teaching you is because somebody has more money than me and they're paying me to do this? As well as the program came by way of somebody deciding to open the door for you to have a program. And this was a charter school. I was teaching in a charter school. I'm well endowed in teaching. I taught charter school, you know, private school. Teaching is part of my acumen. You won't go 5 minutes with me without learning something. However, as Alfredo went on back and forth, we just did this and that. And I think it's one of those things where, you know, you read your little textbook assignment and it has this little passage you got to read, and it puts the reader, the student, in a place where he's got to make a decision about social value and a mathematical equation, economic. So do you fund this or do you kill off that? And then what's going to happen if there are no people with any money? That guy is now at least ...30 years old. He probably has enough kids to where at the point, and he's worked enough in his last 15 years where he realized, shit, I need money. This whole thing is set up on money. Even my politics is based on money. I need money. Money, 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 money. How do I feel about the money is the difference. The whole expose in cryptocurrency is not about trying to be the next, you know, show up your neighbors with a new Cadillac or Lamborghini or whatever the hell people was into. You can best believe if I, like I randomly do, just play lottery or this, that, and the other, and if I hit $1 million or two or three or six or seven, I'm going to bounce up out. And then I'm going to trickle down. I'm going to bounce out because it would be in my best safe interest to bounce out. Then I'm going to put an apparatus around me to get that some funds back into where I was last. I'll probably buy everything around me immediately, assuming it don't break me. And then I already know my mindset. I will invest in what currently is getting me through the day. So if it's cryptocurrency, and let me say this, this was a, something said, now my math, my mind was going, it was racing. My homegirl is bipolar. She and I went out before we even knew she was bipolar, but I knew something was special about her ass. That was 20, damn near 30 years ago. 30. And I just talked to her yesterday, and she's still going through her trials and tribulations, but at the end of the day, we all are. And I talked to her about, let's sit a little couple of dollars aside from your government portfolios and just put, you know, some of y'all getting $1,500 a month, $3,000 a month, $25,000 a month. My boy just got a whole lump sum from EDD for for 24 G's. I ain't heard from him since a day ago for like 3 weeks. So he now probably sitting on, knowing this psychology, 2400. I hope he put 10% of his 24,000, which would have been 24, he would be sitting back today, just in 30 days, on 2.4 million. Now, don't get me mad and twisted. I told you, I don't have 20 G's sitting on the sideline like I might have, or 10 or 5. I got 5 in artwork, 10 in records, 10 in cars. So if you wanted to do an asset structure, and God forbid if I ever had to sell my golf clubs, oh my God. I'll sell my gold platinum records before I sell my golf clubs. I ain't played golf in a minute, but I ain't selling my golf club. Because one's a pro-fitted set. The others I can tour with. Not a question of where the golf game is. It's a question of, do you know the game of golf? Can you pick up at a moment's notice and invest in your golf game? I can go up to Western, with 92nd or 120, and hit some golf balls. You know, a bucket of golf, just the small bucket is $25. To hit some motherfucking golf balls is $25. If I wanted to take them same clubs and go out and hit whatever comes in front of me. I know your mind is racing. Yeah, you see it. You see it. You see yourself with golf clubs and hitting everything. Wouldn't cost me a dime. But there's no value in that. Oftentimes on my shows, there's a hidden value. It's not just a hidden message. There's a hidden value. Somewhere in that lush life, you got to figure out, well, what did the man say? Put something on this because everybody in the market is shifting. And if you don't have the information about it, you need to know that this is not extra, it's shifted. Let us take a break on the Marty Smith Show.
Olha que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça. Ela, menina que vem, que passa. Doce balanço, caminho do mar. Moça do corpo dourado, do sol de Ipanema, o seu balançado é mais que um poema, é a coisa mais linda que eu já vi passar. Ah, por que estou tão sozinho? Ah, por que tudo é tão triste? A beleza que existe, a beleza que não é só minha. que também passa sozinha. Ah, se ela soubesse que quando ela passa, o mundo sorrindo se enche de graça e fica mais lindo por causa do amor.
Once again, you're listening to the Marty Smith Show. Today is Saturday, so you know we have NC2A. I know the tide is rolling somewhere. We'll get into that a little later. However, understanding this crypto phantasm.
Just being either offshore accounts or, you know, fly over to wherever, put their money into, you know, whatever charity, or they will find a way to make losses. So if there's that loophole, in my opinion, yes, we have to figure out smart ways to tax these ultra billionaires and make sure that companies like Enron pay their fair share, but give them the approach or give them the way to be creative and find a way to take losses or declare losses. They're going to find a way. We've seen that already. So, like, speaking of big gains, SHIB token, my friend. What's going on with SHIB?
Yeah, all of the dog game coins are nuts this week.
Shiba Inu surged in price. It was up 144% at one point this week. Flip Doge, it was higher in the total market cap for a while. And then Floki Inu was up 118%. And then Dogecoin went up again. And, unflipped Shiba Inu. So it's just been all crazy meme coin, meme token action this week.
Did you hear about the person that invested $8,000 and now it's worth $5.7 billion of Shiba Inu?
Yeah, the hell with that. I kind of wish I had $8,000 to throw into shit money.
I think that's going to be the trade of the century. And you know what? I was listening to, I mentioned on the podcast yesterday, I was listening to Pompidou yesterday, and I think we have the same idea about this one. It's like, yeah, great. You have $5.7 billion of SHIB token, but where are you going to sell it? Where are you going to find the liquidity? If this was $5.7 billion of Bitcoin, you could find an OTC trade because people want to buy Bitcoin. Institutions want to buy Bitcoin. You just call Michael Saylor, give him a 5% discount, you off your Bitcoin. But with SHIB token, I don't know if you're going to be able to off this, and maybe on the order book on exchanges or wherever they're going to try to off it, $100 million, which is a crap ton of money. It's not saying anything, it's not $5.7 billion, but it's a crap ton of money. Maybe $200 million, but 5.7. I think that, yeah, this sounds really good, but I think in actual practice, they might have a big problem trying to actually find a place of sale for this. If they do sell it, they're going to totally tank the price.
Yeah, I saw someone tweet that, Shiba Inu's drop is biblical because it just rose up so quickly, and I can't imagine that this momentum is going to continue. I mean, we saw Dogecoin earlier this year. They have only been going for a few months, but it's like 75-70% off of its high now. So I think, people should invest in what they want to and have fun with it. But it's a little scary to me. It's not where I'd be putting my $1,000, but $100, play with it, have fun.
But obviously, this is not financial advice, but what do you think of a SHIB token, by the way? Do you think that?
The whole thing that, and I like this, that's why it's called Decrypt Daily. This young man, his name is Matthew Diemer, D-I-E-M-E-R, and he's good. I like his broadcast. There are other people doing this on a daily and putting out media and madness about cryptocurrency. But what I do like about him is that he's so fallible. He tells you up front, I made mistakes, I misinvested, I bought at the top mark. Let's back up. I'm familiar with every bit of speech and platforming that he's talking about. From Bien to Coinbase to the wallet and the intricacies of where it's moving. You always buy low, sell high. He is talking about he made mistakes because he bought high into the market. There have been occasions where I had bought high, and so I am buying certain tokens now in which I have put an alarm on. So it's about it's about 10 that I'm serious about. It's about 60 total. But 10 that I put it, because I have an account and I have a blockchain account and I can buy whatever. This shit is not easy. Just because you got a blockchain account doesn't mean that you can buy the actual thing. If you see it moving, it's making money, they don't sell that. You can't transfer and trade that token. like XRP. That's not on Coinbase. However, it may be on Crypto Wallet, Webull, Robinhood, and a whole host of others. And I'm just putting out those popular names. You don't even have to be popular now. I'm pretty sure E-Trade has a way to transfer cryptocurrency. And although I have been a, like, 40-year E-Trade account holder and have made money through E-Trade when that was all we had back in the day. We had E-Trade, Ameritrade, but I just stuck with E-Trade because that made the most sense. And I'm still there. They host one of my IRA accounts. So as I'm talking to you about shit, yeah, have an IRA account, have an investment account, have a savings account. Put yourself in the grasp of the game. The man made $8,000, put $8,000 on SHIB. We've been talking about SHIB for the last fucking 3 months. SHIB, SHIB, SHIB. Last 3 weeks. SHIB, SHIB, SHIB. I got SHIB. I didn't put $8,000 on SHIB. But I did put more than $100,000. The man made $2 billion off putting $8,000. Let's say how he made it. And they're not being honest. There's these things called staking. Okay? And auctions. So the developers of the cryptocurrency, and a token is a cryptocurrency. We call them tokens because we normally want to call cryptocurrencies Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, those that's been around for a minute, Dogecoin. They've been around, you know what I mean? Binance. There's a few coins and infrastructures. And then you had infrastructures that were not coin related, but they were the blockchain based. And then you have now people who set up blockchain unbeknownst to you and saying that they were not with the cryptocurrency. So a major bank like Bank of America set up a blockchain, never let you in the public know. And now they got a token or a platform to take your cryptocurrency and buy whatever you want. And blah, 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 blah. And then you can just deposit 7% into crypto while it's right here on your savings account at Bank of America. Everybody doing the same old shit. The shift is you're going to be shifted out because the major marketplaces have taken over all your ability to make the ghetto money. The ghetto money is where it is right now, and I have ran across these young kids and these older kids that have made money when I was sitting around trying to figure out what is y'all doing. Now, though, is no time to play.
as use cases, or just this honestly sounds like when people say Bitcoin or cryptocurrency, I'm not a Bitcoin, I'm taking that back. If cryptocurrency is a Ponzi scheme, that this seems Ponzi-ish.
Yeah, I mean, it does. I don't really know what the use case is for it. I'm not sure that use case is really a key consideration when you're talking about, you know, meme coins and things that are very easily swayed by social media sentiments. I mean, it's fun, but I still hesitate to call this a serious investment in any way, shape, or form.
So when does it become a serious investment? Because, look, Dogecoin was a meme coin before Elon Musk came out and said he's going to start working on it. There's been, you know, rumors that he's going to introduce Dogecoin in, like, his Starlink satellites, and, you know, they're going to be running nodes or all kinds of different things, you know. But if that actually happens, and Dogecoin has been went from a meme to a actual cryptocurrency that is going to have use cases and actually could facilitate some sort of value transaction, when does Dogecoin choke to something with value?
I mean, I guess this is the eye of the beholder, and everyone's going to have their own, you know, different take on what it means to be a serious investment or to have real use cases. But I feel like when the price action is less volatile and when it's more sustainable in value, and then when we start to see a wider ecosystem sprout up around it and actual use cases that are beyond just sort of having fun and sharing memes, then to me, that's when it would be something that we could consider as a more serious investment.
And I guess, you know, I'm not trying to get on meta, which we're going to go into meta here in a little bit, the new Facebook, but I caught myself about Ponzi, and Ponzi is not correct, really, because in a Ponzi scheme, people pay into it, and then the whoever's controlling those funds are paying, like, dividends to other people that are bought into it from other people's money that are investing into this scheme. And so it's more of like a planned circulation of capital. And this is like more of a chaotic circulation of capital where you're not actually gambling, because when you're gambling, say, betting on black or going to a roulette wheel, there's a determined outcome of, you know, that there's a certain percent that is going to land on X number or black or whatever, or the dice going to roll a certain way. With Dogecoin or these meme coins or Floki from Puppy, there is no actual predetermined outcome or odds that something's going to happen. It's also taking money from the teller. How do you define this action of gambling on random meme coins? That's maybe more of a better definition than Ponzi or gambling, because I have no clue. I haven't figured out, like, what's the best way to describe this, because it's all of that plus chaos. Plus,
yeah, it's definitely chaos. I feel like it's still early in sort of the cycle of things. I mean, Dogecoin has been around for years, but it only really, like, pumped and went crazy this year. And then we've seen all of these, you know, various offshoots, knockoffs, or, you know, attempts to recapture that magic. I still think it's a gamble. I also think it's fun and it's successful, and it's something that gets people talking about crypto and interested in crypto. So I'm not going to begrudge anyone who wants to put their money into these things, as long as they're aware of the risks. And, you know, maybe it will kind of get them excited about the wider crypto ecosystem and what's possible here.
Let's move off this. I can talk about this all day, but I want to know what's going on with Steam. You're the one that brought this to my attention. I didn't see this article, but Steam is banning NFT games and NFTs. What's going on?
Yeah, so Steam is the biggest traditional PC gaming marketplace. And last week they updated their developer stipulation that you should not be publishing games that use blockchain technology, that have any sort of cryptocurrency or NFT implementation. And they didn't say why. We reached out for comment. A lot of other publications reached out for comment. There's been no, like, explanation or richer detail to explain it. But their main competitor, the Epic Games Store, Epic Games is the creator of Fortnite, they were like, yeah, come to us. Like, yeah, we'll publish your games as long as they fit our regulations. But in any case, Steam is the biggest fish right now. And this week, crypto advocates, digital rights advocates started pushing back. There's this open letter that was signed by more than 25 blockchain game developers, that was signed by Engen and Bitcoin Future, which is a digital rights advocacy group, and the Blockchain Game Alliance, which includes major game publisher Ubisoft, Ethereum Scaling Solution, Polygon, all sorts of companies. And basically said,
like, you know, Web3 games is a fast moving and exciting space, and it has benefits for players. We want to at least have a dialogue about why this is happening and try to understand and hopefully convince you to overturn the ban.
So why do you think they banned it, though?
Well, I mean, Valve is a centralized player that controls its own ecosystem and makes a whole bunch of money from it. It also publishes games of its own. It has games like Counter-Strike and Team Fortress 2, and it makes money from the in-game items that you can buy and trade only on their platform. You don't really own those items. You can't take them out of Steam and sell or manipulate them how you want to. So, you know, I spoke with someone from Fight to the Future, and they said, you know, this is another case of a gatekeeper wanting to retain their ability to extract value out of every single transaction on their platform. And until Valve, which is the creator of Steam, until they give a more nuanced explanation of why they're doing this,
All right, folks, this is the Marty Smith Show. Want to make sure everything is cogent. This cryptocurrency, he pretty much is saying everything I'm saying, with the exception, don't approach it as if not something you could benefit from. So, clean your house, and then you find this, and then you find this, and you find that. Now look for that, and I found this. So you got $100 worth of stuff that you had forgot about that you found. Take that little old sidebar money and drop it on a crypto. We can't tell you which one, but the token game is working. Like I said 2 days ago, many of these currencies align themselves or are part of the official blockchain of Bitcoin, Ethereum. And while you may not want to spend $62,000 to buy one Bitcoin or drop $8,000, you can put $8 on some shit that's less than, and it's going to be a dollar in the next 7 years. And I think you need to forget about it as you do it. Those are the kind of lottery tickets I like to buy. Some that you come back and scratch a year later. Yeah, I want the immediate payoff and gratification if I could win tomorrow. Well, my behavior is not going to change. If I won $7 million tomorrow on a scratch-off, I'm still going to invest half of it in my community, set myself up, buy a house, go to Alabama, be back and forth. And by then, I'll probably figure out I needed my own airplane, or at least helicopter, with a better pilot than Coke on everything.
We're very pleased to have on board this for a second performance today, Cherokee National Treasure, Tommy Wildcat, performing traditional flute music. So please welcome him in the warmest of National Museum of American Indian ways to our floor.
Hello, how are you people out there? My name is Tommy Wildcat. It's good to be here once again at Cherokee Days 2017 at the National Museum of American Indian. I'm going to start this morning, this evening off with one of my most promoted flute songs called Warrior Flute, heard all over Cherokee country from North Carolina, Northern Georgia, Tennessee, and Northeastern Oklahoma. So here we go, folks. My most promoted flute song called Warrior Flute.
All right, folks, this is the Marty Smith Show, and I thank you for listening and tuning in to what we're talking about. It's hard to deny the obvious as we move into our second topic, because we've just really been on cryptocurrency since I got on the air.
Brought up in Cherokee-speaking communities, whenever our elders or the old people tell their young people that they've done good or something is good, they'll say, Osta. Osta, that you've done, uh-huh. So they'll say, you did really good. So that's the name of my next song that I call Osta. So here we go, folks. One of my second to the latest compositions of the American Indian Week. This is an old podcast. I want to hear what she has to say currently, as my ancestry plays in the background.
Deliberately and consciously choosing the ideas, the psychic entities, which you will entertain and nurture in the house of your mind. Now, I want you to make this homework. Sit down and think about it. In the Bible, and Jesus quotes it, it is said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And house here indicates the mind, the consciousness. So let's say together, my mind shall be called a house of prayer. Say it again. The third time. Now you see, this is really what the mind is to be. It is to be a house of prayer, a house of praise. There's another portion of that scripture. My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. When you permit negative ideas to come into your mind, they steal the energy, the power of the mind, and dissipate it negatively. So examine your mind very carefully and kick out all the thieves. Anything that would steal your peace, your contentment, your joy. Anything that would steal your lovingness, get rid of it. Because my house shall be called a house of prayer. In other words, my mind should always be in communication with God, infinite good. My mind should always be in communication with God, infinite good. Let me say it, let me drop a word. My mind is always in communication with God, infinite good. Together? Say that again. My mind is always in communication with God, infinite good. My mind is always in communication with God, infinite good. All right, let's add a sentence to that. And I will not permit negative ideas to feed upon the substance of my mind. All right. The last paragraph of the lesson before we do the treatment says, remember, every idea is divinely automatic. That is, every idea has within itself the plan and the power of expression. At the beginning of this lesson, I said you have to learn how to treat ideas. Stop treating good ideas with immediate skepticism. How do you greet the good ideas that come to you? With immediate skepticism? Do you jump on your good ideas with hands and feet, tearing them apart? Oh, that's a good idea, but how? I would like to, but how? Some people howl their good ideas to death, thereby extract all the power from it, and it dies. Every idea is divinely automatic. That is, every idea has within itself the plan and the power of expression. Believe, only believe in the idea, and it will unfold and fulfill its nature in your experience. And get out of the habit of doubting simply because ways and means may not be intellectually comprehended. God, who is almighty ways and means, is in every idea, and his ways are past finding out. Say with me, God is in every idea. Again? All right, let's stand and do some work now. Now, I have chosen the psychic entities, the ideas that I want to live and grow in my mind, and I call them health, happiness, love, success, prosperity, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Say that with me.
Thank you. love, success, prosperity, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And do you know every time you verbalize this, you feed the idea? Everything that passes through your mind, everything that passes through your mind takes some psychic energy from it. And all gives some psychic energy to you, depending on what it is. So now let's first of all take the idea of good health. And let's recognize it. And let's nourish it with our faith. So just simply repeat after me. And it's on the lesson sheet. Good health is a living idea. A reality and a personality in my mind. And I nourish it with my thinking. This is the Father's business. This is your job every day to nourish right ideas, God's ideas, with your thinking. And you have to do this actively and deliberately, just like you feed your children, just like you feed the baby, and the baby grows. You don't feed the baby won't be around.
You're listening to the Marty Smith Show. Once again, we have 30 minutes left in this hour, and we're going to get it done, people.
Pew, pew, hooray! Pew, pew, hooray!
Love won't get you out of this. Drugs won't get you out of this. Fame won't get you out of this. Change won't get you out of this. Juice won't get you out of this. Cool won't get you out of this. Hate won't get you out of this. Levitate, 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 Love won't get you out of this. Drugs won't get you out of this. Fame won't get you out of this. Change won't get you out of this. Juice won't get you high like this. Levitate, 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 levitate. Life won't get you high like this here. No, he won't get you high like this here. No, she won't get you high like this here. No, for free won't get you high like this here. No, two keys won't get you high. No, no, no. Bentley's won't get you high like no. Levitate, 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 levitate. Life won't get you high, no, no, no. He won't get you high, no, no, no. She won't get you high, no, no, no. For free won't get you high, no, no, no. Two keys won't get you high, no, no, no. Bentley's won't get you high, no, no, no. Bars won't get you high, no, no, no. Levitate, 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 levitate.
Shut your fucking mouth and get some cash, you bitch, you. You be in your feelings, I be in my bag, you bitch, you. Santa reindeer better have some ass, you bitch, you. Everything I'm working, gotta be.
Don't fuck
shut your fucking mouth and get some cash, you bitch. You be in your feelings, I be in my bag, you bitch. Santa reindeer better have some ass, you bitch. Everything I'm working gotta be the
levitate, 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 levitate.
We don't want problems,
we don't want problems.
We don't want trick,
we don't want trick.
We do want dollars,
we do want dollars.
We want it big,
we do want dollars.
We don't want problems,
we riding pilots.
We don't want trick,
we don't want trick.
We do want dollars,
we don't want trick.
Levitate, 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 levitate. We don't want problems,
we don't want problems.
We don't want trick,
we don't want trick.
We don't want dollars,
we don't want dollars.
We do it big,
we don't want problems.
We do it big,
we don't want problems.
We do it big,
we don't want trick.
We don't want problems,
we don't want problems.
Levitate, 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 levitate.
I feel like Pacino and Godfather, I'm charged. Our father to ride in heaven, Kendrick at large. Came in the game with a plan of beating the odds. What an accomplishment. Broken promises kept my focus anonymous till I dealt with the consequence. The greatest, the latest mogul, you know what time it is. You niggas fear me like y'all fear God. You sound frantic, I hear panic in your voice. Just know the mechanics of making your choice and writing your bars. Before you poke out your chest, loosen your bra. Before you step out of line and dance with the star. I can never end a career if it never starts. The murderer's capital avenue's looking like evil dead. Zombies with batteries to the head. The flattery of watching my stock rise. The salary, the compensation triple my cock size. I run through these stop signs with no brake fluid, just premium gas. Do it for dolo. Crash markets and prejudice tags. Look at my photo. Black excellence, pessimists die. Counting my coin. Hope it's evident that I inspired 1,000 MCs to do better. I blue cheddar on you centers, builders and beamers and blue leather. Forecasting my future, this is the future. The mastermind until my next album, more power to ya.
once expected to rise economically and socially. Service workers and fast food workers know they are trapped. As a swelling population of college graduates, jobs, and obscene amounts of debt.
So why is this important? This is important because people on the left are always, I'm not excluding myself from this, whining, complaining, infighting, bickering over who has more privilege than who is, you know, real liberal, who's a fake liberal, who's a boutique liberal. I mean, I'm as guilty of this as anyone, okay? I will be the first to admit that I am very, very guilty of this sort of thinking, this sort of behavior. And it's very hard for me to get along with people. I'm a very disagreeable, angry, and all around generally unpleasant person, okay? But that being said, I think it is also important for us, the 99%, to unite somehow, some way against the vice grip, as Chris puts it, of the ultra-rich. And in order to do so, in order to do that, you're going to have to join forces with people you don't like, people whose values you don't agree with, people who you probably would never, ever, ever want to be around. That's how alliances are made. You know, you don't have to be friends, but you have to work towards the same cause. And liberals just can't seem to get this through their heads. Why can conservatives do this? You know, why is it that fiscal conservatives can get on board with Trump and liberals can't get along with each other? The big problem.
These two groups, once united, will be our primary engines of revolt. Much of the urban poor has been crippled and in many cases broken by a rewriting of laws, especially drug laws, that has permitted courts, probation officers, parole boards, and police to randomly seize poor people of color, especially African American men, without just cause and lock them in cages for years. In many of our most impoverished urban centers, our internal colonies, as Malcolm X called them, mobilization will be difficult. The urban poor are in chains.
I think about how the U.S. has internal colonies and external colonies. I mean, we still have colonies. I mean, what is Japan? What is Korea? You know, what are all the countries where American corporations dominate, extract resources? We still have a lot of colonies.
And those chains are being ready for the rest of us. Erica Chenoweth and Maria Stephan examined 100 years of violent and nonviolent resistance movements in their book, Why Civil Resistance Works. They concluded that nonviolent movements succeed twice as often as violent uprisings. Violent movements work primarily in civil wars or in ending foreign occupations, they found. Nonviolent movements appeal to those within the power structure, especially the police and civil servants, who are cognizant of the corruption and decadence of the power elite and are willing in the end to abandon them. And we need only 1 to 5% of the population actively working for the overthrow of a system, history has shown, to bring down even the most ruthless totalitarian structures.
Isn't that crazy? Only 1 to 5%. I never thought it would be that low, not a million years. If you would have asked me, if you would have asked me, I would say like 60, 80, 90.
Rebellion works on two tracks, building alternative structures, such as public banks, to free ourselves from the control, and finding mechanisms to hold the machine.
Okay, this is also really important. Don't just gloss over what he's saying here, because these are very, very important things. Parallel structures. This means, as Chris talks about, we need to go back to a print-based culture. We need to start printing stuff out that can't be censored by big tech and algorithms and such. And, what was the second one he said? This systems, I think, I forget exactly his wording, but he's basically saying, like, civil unrest, civil disobedience. You know, you have to be willing to put yourself on the line. You have to be willing to get arrested, as he is and has been for a long time, in order to stop the machine. And that's the biggest problem, is that we are all so comfortable. I mean, even though we're not comfortable, you know, we're kind of comfortable. Nobody wants to risk their relative comfort in order for things to get better for the rest of us. Like, this, to me, this is the hardest hurdle to overcome. Because, you know, I even know it for myself. Like, I know, like, you know, things are kind of, you know, we're kind of stuck in whatever we're in. But am I going to be willing to, you know, sit outside in the cold, get arrested? Do I want to give up my clothing? Do I want to give up my food? Do I want to give up all the comforts that I enjoy? Honestly, I mean,
scientists discovered men with the most energy, strength, and drive have a secret bathroom habit they follow.
I mean, I think if I had kids, I would. If I had kids, I definitely would do it. But just as me, as a single person, I would do it for other people. I would do it for people I love, definitely. Do it for you, 5 viewers.
Wow, he just hit a nerve with me. If I had kids, a wife, something that I was looking forward to with that lifestyle parameter and perspective, I'm looking forward to a happy lifestyle perspective without that. However, had I had that in place, my mindset would be totally different. These shows might not even exist. Further, my acumen to want to get up and say something. I'm still trying to figure out who's making me do that. God or my mama? My mother has always had ongoing and great influence upon my behavior. And if many of you don't know yet, we are not incommunicado, but I thank her for some basic tenets toward my current discipline of behavior. She may have had nothing to do with shaping my behavior.
Bipolar with the check.
Bipolar.
I just put some crazy around my neck.
Bipolar.
Go crazy with your ex.
Bipolar.
I just might go crazy with my bitch.
Bipolar.
Bipolar with the check.
Bipolar.
I just put some crazy around my neck.
Bipolar. Yeah.
Bipolar on my wrist.
Bipolar.
Yeah. Bipolar, man, I keep on switching wheels. Bipolar gang, diamond tennis chains on huge. A marijuana world will take your trees like screws. My bitch bad and yellow, but my honey's all blue. I just went bipolar, put my wrist on Tom Cruise. Insane, man, my stash, man, it's crazy in the range. He must be bipolar, cause he can't stay in his lane. I'm talking to my shrink, and I'm draped in a mink. She asked me what I need, I said, bitch, I need something to drink. Ice cream, man, I'm pull up in a tank. I feel like Mama Mia, cause I'm whipping in the same. The Colonel, the Huncho, the leader of the gang. Bipolar, see murder, the Draco with the shine. Bipolar with the check.
Bipolar.
I just put some crazy around my neck.
Bipolar.
Go crazy with your ex.
Bipolar.
I just might go crazy with my bitch.
Bipolar,
bipolar with the check.
Bipolar.
I just put some crazy around my neck.
Bipolar.
yeah. Bipolar on my wrist, yeah. Bipolar, man, I keep on switching wheels,
yeah. Swapping out the lamb, think I'm crazy. Shitting on these hoes, try to play me. Bipolar, I've been spending cash lately,
yeah.
Make you drown in the sauce, too much gravy.
Ball player shit, we get cash in this bitch.
Ball.
Money stretch too long, from the north to the city,
yeah. Hey, bipolar gang, cause I spaz on that bitch. I fuck it and get out my face, that's that bipolar shit.
Dance on that word, punch your James Brown. All them colors in your stone like a damn clown. Screw that tip on that ooze, it don't make no sound.
Man down, 2 million in cars, I don't know what to drive. Neck ice polar, all my hoes be by. Jet fly solar, like a bird in the sky. Try the game, we fold you, then those and nine. Went by polar Chanel, went by polar on the scale. Went by polar on the rug, told them to feed me bail. Went by polar on drugs, they be telling me chill. Gave my mama her first dose, she thought I was going to jail.
Bipolar with the check,
bipolar.
I just put some crazy around my neck,
bipolar.
Go crazy with your ex,
bipolar.
I just might go crazy with my bitch,
bipolar.
Bipolar with the check,
bipolar.
I just put some crazy around my neck,
bipolar.
Bipolar on my wrist,
bipolar.
Bipolar, man, I keep on switching wheels,
bipolar.
You are listening to the Marty Smith Show. You are. I didn't make it up. You're actually listening to Marty Smith. Say it's the Marty Smith Show. Hello, folks. This is still the Marty Smith Show. You know, we got cool on the whip. Every so often.
I'ma do what I wanna do when I do it. And nothing that you can do when I'm gone. Rap game recognized today. And we came to bring the pain. I'ma do what I wanna do when I do it. And nothing that you can do when I'm gone. Rap game recognized today.
Black people, what y'all gonna do when you wake up and find that you're dead? With maggots and roaches eating the pus out of your prostituted minds and white deathly hands, massaging your hearts with red hot branding irons. They're writing songs of love, but not for me. They're writing songs of love, but not for me. Here we are, the employees of all love, but yet we are working overtime to cover up our loneliness. John Coltrane died in vain, a love supreme. John Coltrane died in vain, a love supreme. Where are the low staccato screams of black unity? John Coltrane died in vain, a love supreme. Where are the higher octaves of righteousness and truth? John Coltrane died in vain, a love supreme. Where are the high registers of peace and love? John Coltrane died in vain. What are black people doing enough of that they shouldn't be doing?
Nothing,
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 nothing. Black people, what y'all gonna do? Black people, what y'all gonna do? I see junky bitches giving birth to gonorrhea-faced babies that come out nodding to the rhythm of God Bless America. And these same babies grow up to be good-looking corpses that haunt the streets of Harlem, raping simple-minded, womanless black pussies who dream of becoming virgins once again in the hereafter. Stop in the name of love. Stop in the name of love. Stop mugging that old woman. She's been saving her money all year for a trip to the electric circus, but she died the very next day. Oh, God! Oh, God! God ain't dead. He's down at the family planning office, handing out Brooklyn cold fields to black women, telling them they're a gift from heaven. Look, there's old Sam the wino, searching for a last sip of ancient street love in the empty wine bottles in the gutters of his soul. And the air has become polluted with white lies of love, while love is dying from overdoses of misuse, Christianity, and legitimate insane asylums, and legal torture chambers called White, Southside, Bed-Stuy, and Huff. Are we the black people who once loved with the slow march of time? Time was ours to hold in the soft, love-warm chambers of our hearts. And was we the apple mommies and daddies of a sun world? But turn our strands of hair into antennas to tune in the juju madness and syncopated love rhythms of Africa. And we love with time, and we took the time to love, and with the right time we love, and we love time after time. Will we ever love again? Will we ever love again? Will we really ever love again? Or will we just sit and rot away with the brighter tomorrows in the skag field, rat-cluttered, piss-pinched halls of our minds?
Black people, what y'all gonna do? Black people, what y'all gonna do? Will the real black people please stand up?
You're listening to the Marty Smith Show. And we're proud to have this show. Thank you.
I'm God.